Blog Talk Radio.
Microsoft points, just so y'all know for future reference when we're sick.
And LA, if you're listening, no, stop it. Stop it.
I'm gonna need for nature to stop attacking me.
Damn youngsters.
Wait a minute, who was sending me requests? Ginger. Oh, I was like, Ginger, are you sending me Candy Crush?
That's not me. I'm not touching that right now. I know if I do.
That was Miss Ashley Ryan of Game Crush that sent me an invite to play Song Pop with her. Hello, Ashley. Good morning. I cannot play right this moment, but perchance later.
Yosh, perchance.
Girls playing song pop, waiting on a train to pass. Girls are playing song pop, waiting for a train to pass the other day, and was holding up traffic.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
It popped up. I was bored, and I was like, I can't get around the train, so I might as well play. And then I got all engrossed, and then I was like, beep, there, and people were honking, like, move. And I was like, I have to guess this song, so you're going to have to wait. Obviously, did not realize you got in line behind a gamer. I'm so sorry for you. Oh, how you doing, Ginger?
I'm feeling much better than I was yesterday. All I have to say is guys are big old babies when they get sick. You know, I was just like, you know what, I can't do this. I'm going to bed. Not, oh, I got to go to the ER and all this other fun stuff. No. No. I was like, I'm going to be sick in bed. That's where you're supposed to be sick, in bed.
Mhm. Or you're like me where you're sick. Look, I told Ginger I was sick this morning. Let me tell you what I was doing instead of laying down. Because this is how women are. You guys need to pay attention. I was dusting the table. I was laying on the couch with the duster in my hand, reaching across my table, dusting. That's how women are. This table has got to be cleaned.
That's bad.
Yeah, the table has got to be cleaned, and I'm already laying here. I might as well reach out and fix it. Why not?
Oh, wow. No. I'm not that ambitious. And, well, that I'm not that domesticated. So, no, things are still where they were at.
Well, I have allergies, so it was part of the problem. I was like, this dust has got to go. It's not helping
me. That's true. No, see, I live on a dirt road, so if I were going to dust, I would have to dust every second of every minute of every day. Because it's never-ending dust. You think I'm kidding. It's not even funny. I had to put an actual air filter on my computer to keep the dust out of it. It's ridiculous. Like one of those great big round ones.
You know, I'm going to probably need one.
Like in a vacuum? Yeah.
I'm actually going to probably need to do that. That's a very good tip.
It is. It was cheap, and I don't have to clean out my fans like every week.
Yeah, because mine are looking like,
Yeah. There's no dust coming in whatsoever. I just have to clean this, every once in a while I have to pop it off and clean it out and put a new one.
Look, as we're talking, I'm dusting my computer.
I know. It's been nice. Because used to, I would see all this dust in the fans. Nothing. Not a speck.
You want to run that down how you've done that there so I can, I can stop having to dust mine because I'm
hot
like.
Glue.
Hot glue?
Hot glue. I hot glued that to the side.
Really?
I found one that fit over my fan. You go to Walmart, you go to like their paint section.
Mm-hmm.
They have the round filters for those industrial vacuums. They're round and they're hard. Yeah, and I popped that over.
Exactly, taking the wrong way. You know that, right?
that baby in place, and ta-da! Perfect seal.
That has me a nice PB&J. I just would like to point that out, too.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. That's very nice.
Yeah, I wish
you had. A group. I was eating a grapefruit leather thingy. So kind of like fruit roll-ups, but for adults. They're not sugary and full of fake crap. It was just grapes. It was
good. Talking a lot about those. I'm going to have to try them out.
They're awesome. I love them. I love them. I love them. And they take the place of one fruit. So, yeah.
Yeah, I might have to try that out.
They're good. They're good. All right. So I think people came here for some news, maybe. Just
maybe,
a little bit.
Maybe perchance. I don't really know.
Maybe.
Might I go first? Because I've been watching this for 2 days. And actually, we were talking about this last week. Cliff Bleszinski. We call him Cliffy B.
Uh-huh.
Who is supposed to be retired and keeping his flipping mouth shut. Man, he has been all over the gaming news. He's got plenty to say. Cliffy, all I got to say, if you don't like it, fix it. That's what you do. But he has been running his mouth. He was a keynote speaker at the 2013 East Coast Games Conference, and he told our friends over at Game Industry International that now would be the absolute worst time for him to come back. Then shut up. Cliff, that's how I feel about it. Just shut up. He said... And that he was waiting for the dust to settle a bit before making his next move. He says that business has not been in a state of transition like it is now since the video game crash of the 80s. Really? Was there a video game crash in the 80s? Did we miss something? Was there like a, you know, was it huge then and then it crashed? Okay, so anyway, he says, I really think we're in a massive state of turmoil. I think Nintendo could possibly be faced with the situation of becoming a company that only makes software moving forward. I think Sony and Microsoft are about to come to major blows. But at the same time, people love playing games on their iPad. The PC is going through wonderful renaissance right now. They never not go through renaissance. What is it, people that always think PC gaming is going to die? You've been saying that for 30 years.
Not going to happen.
Never going to happen. As long as there is PCs, there will be PC gamers. Sorry. He says, I also think that we're ready to go to do digital download games all the time. He says, and I just want to see what happens. In regards to the industry, it's like Smash Brothers, a Super Smash Brothers of business right now, and I want to see if Peach or Mario wins. He says, if any of the console makers are to emerge victorious from that Super Smash Brothers melee, Bleszinski said they would need to embrace qualities from more open platforms like PCs and tablets while preserving the stability of a closed platform, enabling developers to update their titles as needed was such an example. He says, when Gears of War 2 launched and we found out that our netcode...
He's kind of cute.
Oh, he's very cute. He just needs to be quiet. Just stand there and look pretty, Cliffy.
I have some other things for him to do.
I got better things for you to do with your mouth, Cliffy. Anyway, by the time...
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's going to go there, but all right.
Sorry, it's the Claritin. It's going to my head. He says, by that time, the majority of users had moved on to the next game or had traded it in. He says, if Microsoft and Sony are to do well in this next generation, they're going to need to reduce that time as much as possible, as well as continue to enable user-supported mods, independent games, and really just get rid of the wall that makes it incredibly hard to find those products, even if they're allowed on console. All that red tape needs to be stripped away in order to create an ecosystem to allow for a product like Minecraft to actually happen on a console. Okay. He suggested that the console market is 80% $60 retail titles and 20% cheaper download offerings. You know, Cliffy B, on some of these points, I agree with you, but I feel like if you are not going to be involved in this renaissance or change, then you just need to be quiet. Just be quiet. But I don't want to hear it. I want to hear what you got to say. But I do agree with a lot of your points. And I don't know about Nintendo going to making software. That's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, that doesn't really seem like something they are even interested in.
I mean,
why?
I don't know. Everybody is just hating and I'm not going to say everybody. I've actually heard quite a few more Wii U people that own Wii U's that are like, you know, everybody was saying it's horrible, but I actually like it. I like it better than my Wii. I actually like it better than my PlayStation. And I know y'all.
You know, I want to say I remember hearing the same thing when the Wii came out. Everybody was like, oh, it's a kids platform. And then people loved it for a while. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And while it did kind of stay a kids platform, the Wii U, from what we've seen, isn't going to stay a kids platform. They're kind of finally stepping out of their comfort zone. They're coming back to bring us adults back into the fold.
you're still saying the same thing that we all argue about with Blaster about. Nintendo has always been a kids platform. The problem is you grew up.
We did. Yeah. And now they're kind of like, you know what? Now we want to bring you back.
I don't think any of us ever left.
We let you see what's out here. Now come back and let us show you how it's supposed to be done.
Keep this in mind, people. This is my whole argument about Nintendo. It's not that I am angry at them about anything that they do, period. It is a kids platform. I'm agreeing with you there. What I'm telling you is you are an adult, and when you become an adult, some of you have nieces, nephews, kids around you. The one thing you know that they can safely play is Nintendo. You may have questions about putting them on an Xbox or PlayStation, but you know the Wii is safe. You know the games there are safe, and there's always going to be children. Always. That is why Nintendo has that market cornered. I'm not mad at them about that. For that reason, they're not going to ever go to just making software. Xbox and PlayStation, they may come to blows. And I think the person that's going to be on the outs is Microsoft, because they have left us behind as gamers. They're all about, we want to be a cable box. I think those are the people that they need to be paying attention. You all need to come back to your gamers. We help make Xbox successful, and you have left us. I don't want Netflix on my Xbox. That should be an option. I don't even want to see it on my front page. Just get rid of it. I don't want my Netflix. I don't want Hulu. I don't even want my YouTube there, because I prefer to watch my YouTube when I'm, you know, playing on my PC. But, and some of you like YouTube, but that one I'm not so upset about. But the rest of that crap, the ESPN, I don't need any of that.
No, I don't need that on there.
I want games. And you should, if you're going to do that, then make two Xboxes. You can make one that's saying this is for general people and this is for gamers. That way I don't have to.
Why not, Microsoft? Go ahead and make a box. This is our entertainment box.
Yeah. Go be like Roku and say this is the Microsoft Roku box and this is the Xbox for the gamers. I prefer that. And I don't want that.
Exactly.
On my little...
And, you know, and then if you want to, go ahead and gouge the gamers who want both and like put in one console and then, you know, have them pay more to have both.
Yeah.
Have the stores who don't want that extra bullcrap.
There you go.
Man, it's daytime money cuts.
Well, Thursday night is coming.
Yeah, so it is.
Be cute. Be quiet. Or fix it. There you go.
Or fix it. I like that. All right. So, I got to tell you all about a story I found last night while I couldn't sleep. Yay. New York Police Department is making a team of cops to track stolen iPhones. Yes, iPhones.
You know what? I'm not totally against that. I'm not totally against that at all. But it needs to be more than just
iPhones. I'm a little bit against that. I think it's New York City. I think they have better things to do than track down stolen phones.
True.
But Apple has become one of the most popular gadget brands in the world, not only in sales, but in thefts. With iPhones, iPads, and iPods stolen so often, New York City police have teamed up with Apple Incorporation to combat these crimes directly. The NYPD has designated a special team of cops to pursue the theft of mobile Apple devices like iPhones and iPads. Why not Droid devices? Why not any of the others? Is this only going to be for iPhones and iPads? Are the rest of us going to be just, you know, screwed?
That's what I said. Why not all? Why not the unit that handles all gadgets like this, computers, Xboxes, phones, laptops.
Mm-hmm. With the use of a device's International Mobile Station Equipment Identity, IMSEI, it's possible for Apple to track the whereabouts of a device. Of course, we've told you before, not always 100% when they track those things. So before you go knocking somebody over the head, make sure they actually have your phone. Because you may knock somebody over the head, and it's just because that little piece of software is lying to you. The NYPD began Operation ID last September as an effort to encourage the public to register the serial numbers of their devices free of charge. The theft of Apple phones and other handheld devices drove the spike in robberies and larceny. In 2012, Operation ID will help those whose property is lost or stolen to get it back. So because the rising rate of theft, there's even risk involved in buying one of these devices secondhand. Police say they can and will confiscate any stolen and resold devices and return them to their rightful owners. So on one hand, I'm a geek and I'm like, hell yeah, I get my stuff back. On the other, I have to say, all right, are we spending taxpayer money to track down your stolen or lost phone? Because that's kind of ridiculous when it could be used, and like I said on our Facebook yesterday, we have social services that deals with, like, children in these foster homes and whatnot that is underfunded and understaffed that this money could be going to instead.
True, true.
Now, if Apple is paying out of pocket for this, good on them. Go for it. Hey.
They make sure our police officers have a job we hope is a relatively safe job that they can
do. Exactly. But this money could be used for so many better things than tracking down your lost or stolen phone. Hell, you're just going to replace it 6 months down the road when Apple comes out with a new one.
Well, here's the thing. If Apple's doing this themselves, they could very well just get some people at their company and say, this is your job. There's an Apple store in every city. I'm sure a lot of people would like a promotion. This is your job. You sit, you track down the cell phone. You can bring a police officer with you when you go to retrieve it, you know, just to make sure you're safe. But we don't, as Ginger says, we don't need to waste taxpayer money. And then that particular cop gets paid, you know, whatever they get paid to go out and do stuff like that. Same way constables do, you know, they get paid. And then it's not taking away resources, because my worry is they have a group of cops doing this, and then we have a real emergency, and you've got, you know, cop tracking
exactly.
down an iPhone instead
exactly.
of, you know, helping murder victim or something. Or so I like the idea, but I have to agree with the Ginger about the money. Apple, you should just do this yourself. Android, you know, I know there's a ton of phones, but there can be...
Oh, yeah, why can't Apple, Chris, or a little...
Google, Android,
services.
Yours. Yeah.
No, you registered with us, you pay so much a year, if you lose your phone, we'll track it down for you.
Exactly, part of insurance, basically.
Yeah.
And it
would only be offered in certain areas. I mean, hell, they can't police everywhere, but... Yeah.
Well, you don't really need that. You have apps now that will track your phone for you, even if it's dying. I had a friend over the weekend whose daughter lost her iPhone, and the first thing I asked was, does she have ice cream on her phone? Everybody that has an iPhone, you should know what ice cream is. And she says, well, no. I says, well, why didn't she? That's the first thing they tell you to download is ice cream. And she's like, well, it doesn't work if the phone goes off. I said, oh, contraire, mon frère, yes, it does. It will send out what's called a distress signal, and then it will shut itself down. It'll actually turn itself back on. As soon as you say it's missing, it's going to shut itself off, and then every half hour to an hour, it sends out a distress signal so you know exactly where it is. I said, so, you know, some people don't get their apps. Why don't they ever put those on there when you get your phone instead of other crap? I don't really need a metronome on my phone. Do I need a metronome? Let me just run you all through. I love my Droid, but this is the things that came on my phone. Nothing helpful to me, mind you. No Word or anything like that. So I got a iHeartRadio. A music player, a YouTube came on my phone, Virgin Mobile Live, BuzzFeed, a tuning fork, wallpapers, Yelp, and that's pretty much it. Nothing I need. So what is it with the people when they give you the phones, computers too, that they don't put anything on there you need?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Putting it on your phones from get-go, Apple, would you know, help immensely if people, you know, got their phone and it was already on there, and once they clicked on it, because, of course, everybody goes through their phone and it says, this is what this does if you go ahead and activate it. If your phone is lost or stolen, you'll know where to find it. And, yeah, because some people don't know. They're just...
No. Some people are a little...
They're a little lacking in their computer smarts and skills.
Just a bit.
Just a bit.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that goes back to I think you should have a license to be on the internet. That includes on your phone. You have to go down to the DMV and get your license. You got to pass a test and a book and everything. That's coming, I'm telling y'all. 10 years from now. It's going to happen. I run my trailer, Ginger.
Okay, I'll run your trailer.
Run my trailer.
I had my image.
I love the Android robot, by the way. I love him, like, deeply, truly.
Yeah, I almost deleted that image, and I was like, you know what? No, that's my new Apple image for anything.
Android. All right,
Did you notice Droid ain't wasting your money like that?
That's right. There is yet another zombie defense game on the App Store from Polish indie duo Awesome Game Studio. Yet another zombie defense is available beginning today on the App Store for your iPad and iPhone. No Droid as of yet. Come on, guys, get with it. It's a combination of tower defense and shooter, and it's a remake of Awesome Game Studios' top-selling hit for Xbox Live indie game. Yes, this was on the Xbox Live indie game store that you probably never even saw because you can't find the indie store. Anyway, to celebrate the release of these developers' first iOS game, yet another zombie defense will be offered at a promotional price for the first week, 99 cents.
That was cute.
Is it not adorable? And, of course, again, it's a mix of tower defense and shooter. You build your base by day, defend it from the infected by night. You get numerous weapons from rocket launchers to a Tesla cannon, hot, game center achievements, and leaderboards. It's a universal app for the iPad and iPhone, so it'll work on both. It is 99 cents this week only. After that, it'll be $1.99. And to show just how awesome these guys are, they named themselves Awesome Game Studios for a reason. This is a two-man indie team. That's right, from Poland.
Really?
Yes. Nice.
This is awesome for just being a two-man.
Yeah.
That is totally adorable. I love it. All right, the little mohawk zombies are just too cool. That is awesome.
I like it. It is a very interesting take on tower defense. And it's not turn-based, as you all can see. So you got to... You know, you won't play and then have to stop and wait for it to recharge. You got to constantly defend as long as you're playing. Hold on. Well,
I like that. I like that. That is for droid. Yeah.
Droid.
All right. So, mine, I got to show you. Need for speed. Baby, we got the need for the speed. If I can find my trailer for it now. There we go. And a press play. Take off and expand your Need for Speed Most Wanted experience with a three game changing DLC pack launching today. That's right, folks, today. All right, so today Need for Speed Most Wanted, winner of more than 30 industry awards, is releasing three unique downloadable content DLC packs that introduce a brand new airport world expansion, legendary classics from favorite action movies, and heroic rides from Need for Speed franchise history. All right, so what is that? DLC packs on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network today and on Origin March 13th. We've got Need for Speed Most Wanted Terminal Velocity. Need for Speed The Most Wanted Terminal Velocity introduces players to Hughes International Airport, an expansive new location in Fairhaven City that gives players more opportunities to race. I know, right, thought. Jump and drift their way to becoming the most wanted racer.
Oh, my God.
We've got Need for Speed Movie Legends. Always wanted to drive like your favorite action movie star? Well, now you can.
It's muscle car.
Movie Legends features five of the world's most iconic cars that have graced the silver screen. Gamers can take out rivals with debonair style in the luxurious Aston Martin DBS 2008 and Aston Martin DB5. Those who want to make like bandits and elude the police can get behind the wheel of the Pontiac Firebird Trans Am Special Edition.
See, I knew what that one was. One of the few cars I know.
I know, right? Players can also harness the power and aggression of a Dodge Charger RT 1970 for fast races and furious chases. And finally, for racers who want to know what it feels like to disappear in a blink of an eye, let me restart this. In the blink of an eye comes the all-new Need for Speed Most Wanted car, the Shelby GT500 1967.
Oh, I do love me some muscle cars from back in the day. I do.
Right. Those are so hot.
I have one of those. When it looks like a whole lot of fun, because it's GTA. This is all we do when we play GTA Online, by the way, those of you who have heard us talk about it. We aggravate the police and then try to outrun them, which is all kinds of fun. Yeah.
We have one more. We also have Need for Speed Heroes.
Look at that. That is old school.
Hotness right there.
Old school GGR love. Hi, Patrick. Good to see you again.
They say take a trip down memory lane and five famous cars from Need for Speed history. The raucous Lamborghini Diablo S5 from Need for Speed 3 Hot Pursuit. The terrifyingly powerful Nissan Skyline GTR from Need for Speed Underground. The Driftalicious Nissan 35Z from Need for Speed Underground 2. The ferocious Porsche 911 GT2.
The only other car I know.
God, these are hot cars. And the ultimate most wanted car, the BMW M3 GTR from the 2005 Need for Speed Most Wanted. Players can test the limits of these Need for Speed throwbacks in eight new high-intensity races and speed runs. That's hot. Again, these are both out today. For the PS3 and Xbox and Origin starting, March 13th.
Mm-hmm.
So, yay, hot cars. God, these are beautiful cars. I may actually have to get this.
Yeah,
but I will be getting it for the PS3, so.
You know what? when GTA comes out, we're going to need you just for a little while. If we got to take up a collection to get you over onto the proper console so that we can play, you have to come because that is the fun.
I'll come. Maybe I'll have it on another box.
You have another box.
I said maybe they'll have it on the red box. In the red box. Okay.
Girl, I don't think red box, I don't think they're going to put that one in the red box. That would be dangerous. GTA.
That most stolen game ever.
Yeah. I mean, you saw what they did to me with Assassin's Creed. GTA is on the same rung. It's like, you are not getting this back, and I'm not paying for it neither. Matter of fact, I gave you a fake credit card. That is not cute. And did you hear Redbox? This is kind of a sidebar news. Redbox is deciding that they're going to take on Netflix, by the way. They will now be offering a streaming service that costs less than Netflix, by the way, and it will be...
I had heard that. I'd heard rumble of that, like, last year sometime.
Yeah, they've actually, I think, officially launching it either today or yesterday. Not only that, so Netflix costs you $10, theirs is $8, and this includes the price of unlimited streaming and unlimited rentals from the Redbox.
Oh, that's so sexy.
That is sexy. I hate you, you effing Redbox. I hate you. Stop taking my money. All right. Yeah, I may have to sign up for that just to save a little money, actually, because I've been mad at Gamefly for many years. We're not friends anymore, Gamefly. We broke up. Anyway.
Oh, no.
We broke up.
All right. Well, I got your trailer ready if you're ready for me to play it.
All right. This is a new game. Well, I don't know if it's new, but it's new to us. It comes from the UK. It's called Legends of War. And believe it or not, people, this is from the people that made the History Channel look like.
Really?
I'm not for certain, but this is definitely their logo. So let me break it down to you. It's called HLO is what they're calling it. It was created with an extensive single-player campaign mode with over 20 missions. It's set in historical locations, incorporating real-life missions and situations that gives you the unique opportunity to command your troops through genuine battle environments and operations. Gameplay combines the mechanics of turn-based strategy with the depth of tactical warfare gaming, simultaneously bringing in some RPG elements. You can lead your units from the bloody beaches of Normandy to the war-torn streets of Berlin, developing their abilities along the way. It's compared with Strategy Kings, XCOM, and Company of Heroes. Halo brings a whole new level of depth and realism to the game. Sure do wish I could breathe through my nostrils there, nature. Thank you. With over 30 unique unit types, including infantry, armored vehicles, and aircraft, and a vast armory of weapons to choose from, each mission poses a unique challenge as you need to choose the right units and weaponry for the task. It's been developed by strategy gaming expert Slytherin. Oh, gosh, you guys have come such a long way. And builds on the huge success of history's great battles, Medieval. Of course, yes, there is a tie-in with the History Channel. Brings a new level of depth unparalleled in the strategy game genre and introduces a level of detail that was previously only imaginable in blockbuster movie genres, they're saying. So with this game, you're going to get 4 operations, 21 missions, 44 battle maps, and 36 different types of units. Varied mission types including attack, infiltration, defense, escort, and sabotage. Unique combination of 2 strategy game mechanics, high-level strategic management, and turn-based tactics. 44 different battlefield maps consisting of 3 different environments, countryside, snow, and cities. 36 different types of units, command infantry, armored vehicles, and aircraft, special units. Yes, snipers, elite forces and commandos, fighters and bombers. And you can even go head-to-head with the hot seat multiplayer mode. Okay, so they're also giving away something pretty cool called the PS3 P-Cube. Yes, and I might have a link to tell you how to win it. You go to pcube.co.uk. I don't think this is available to us here in the U.S. I'm sorry, y'all. But this actually looks interesting, although I think I'm moving away from the turn-based thing because I cannot finish Gladius. Somebody find me an Xbox emulator. I've looked. Usually, you know when I'm desperate, I've already looked everywhere high and low. I need an Xbox emulator, and I need me a copy of Gladius. I have to finish it, and that is the only turn-based game that I absolutely was in love with, and mostly because it was a you could customize your gladiators how they looked, and you could pick women gladiators. So I had one guy, which was the love interest for the game, who is played by Michael Rosenbaum from, you guys remember him from Smallville? He played Lex Luthor. And so he was the only guy on my team. Oh, and her brother. So the lead character's brother. So I had two guys on my team. Everything else was all women, and they were badass. I would just rip people up. My girls with their maces and hammers. I miss it.
Corey is so violent. She's so violent. Oh, my God.
Yes. Because all gamers are violent. We told y'all before. If there is internet's in jail. We do not. Gamers do not kill people. Can't play in jail. All right. It would be nice if I had sent out that update to Google Plus before I. Oh, it's been fun. All right, Ginger, it'd be your turn.
Yeah. Well, I am trying to get a picture up, and it's not going to work. So, all right. I don't know why it's not wanting to work. That's fine. Whatever. This is a short little story anyways. I'm going to do two, since these are short. I posted this on our Facebook last night. Folks, the deadline for applications for the EMA scholarships has been extended until March 15th. So if you haven't gotten on that, you should. From the EMA's press release, the EMA Scholarship Foundation awards academic scholarships to employees of EMA member companies and their immediate family members who will be engaged in undergraduate and The EMA Scholarship Foundation awards academic scholarships to employees of EMA member companies and their immediate family members who will be engaged in undergraduate and graduate study on a full-time basis. Awardees will receive up to $6,000 total, which will be issued in annual increments. To be eligible for an award, the applicant must be the child of or spouse of an employee who has completed 6 months of full or part-time employment with an EMA regular or associate member company by March 1st of 2013. You can find the scholarship application over at entmerch.org. All right, it's a really long link. You know what? You can find it over on our Facebook. Gamer Girls Radio. Check it out because I do have it up there. I linked it last night. So any of you who are eligible for that should probably try to take advantage of that.
All right. Are we eligible?
I don't know. Are we an EMA company?
No.
No, then we're not eligible.
It looks like some boobs got to be flashed. We got to do what we got to do.
All right. Right. Okay. So.
I did just like, okay, well.
I know.
Sometimes
yeah,
gotta do it.
Yeah, I looked out and didn't have to pay for so much. So, yay. All right, so Microsoft denies involvement in Durango eBay seller raid. I heard a little bit about this last week, but I didn't really know what was going on. I still don't really know what's going on, but hey. All right, so Microsoft says that it had no involvement in the raid of an Australian man who sold a Durango development kit. Oh, I know what that is.
Yes, that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they lied.
Apparently he sold it on eBay. For those of y'all who do not know, the Durango development kit is code name, or at least Durango is code name, for the next Xbox system. Oh, my God, the Xbox 720. Why didn't I buy this? Anyways, Super D-A-E, was raided last week for acquiring and selling the Durango development kit. Yesterday, pulling this from Game Politics, they learned that Microsoft is denying any involvement in the raid. The company issued a statement, and they said that Microsoft did not initiate this FBI investigation with this individual. As has been asserted in some of the articles in the media, we take security very seriously and have no evidence of any compromise of our corporate network. We have no further comment on this matter. In other words, we haven't found out who gave this to this guy, but if we do, they're dead. He's sleeping with the fishies. A report over at Tech Game contradicts that statement and obtained a copy of a search warrant. Which has been verified as authentic by the Australian police. The warrant clearly lists Microsoft's name on it as a party. Fred Superday claims that he was met by Microsoft intellectual property official in recent months and that he obtained the Durango test kit by hacking into an Xbox developer program website, creating a fake account, and ordering the units. You would think, even if he created a fake account, they have... Or, you know, if I were Microsoft, I would have somebody going over each of these orders to make sure that they belong to a real person, to a real company, before I sent something like this out, you know?
Oh, this is
I don't
juicy.
Care if, you know, if it slow orders down and whatnot, to keep my stuff from being leaked, because, you know, this is happening more and more now. I would totally have somebody, if I'm paying you an outrageous amount, and you are going to go through each of these applications, and if you F up, sleeping the fishy.
Look at you, I'm going, oh, this is juicy.
I know, right?
Oh, good.
Someone somewhere dropped the ball.
Oh, okay. I'm like,
Yeah, Microsoft, did you fire all of your tech support like Sony did?
Oh.
tech support, sorry. It was their, I can't even think now. My brain's dead. Yay! Starting after, folks. My brain has left the building. It's like, nope, I don't want to think. There we go. They fired all their security people. There we go. Oh, internet security. It was all gone. They fired them all. They're like, you know what? We don't need you. And then didn't update. That's how the Sony apocalypse happened.
Look, oh.
Now, are we going to have a Microsoft apocalypse now? Because somebody done hacked you.
Softpocalypse. Have you ever seen the movie Antitrust?
No.
Okay, you have got to watch that. This is a must-watch for all of you who were probably young when it came out. Basically, this movie came – when did it come out? Probably the early 2000s, but it stars – what's his face? He used to be married. Ryan Phillippe used to be married to Reese Witherspoon. But it's not a comedy, so I'm going to use the word parody incorrectly. But in a way, it is supposed to be of Bill Gates and how he handles, indie programmers. So, and the company, the fictional company, is very similar to Microsoft. And of course, you know, when it came out, everybody was like, obviously they're pointing, you know, they're trying to say this is like Bill Gates. And I think in this instance, you guys go watch Antitrust. It's actually been, you know, popping up again as of late since all this stuff has started happening. So I think, yeah, Microsoft, you sent those guys over there. You did.
Yeah,
they did. You know, you did. Just own up to it. And nobody's necessarily mad at you for doing it. We say you're wrong for doing it, but at least don't lie. You know you did. You know you did it. What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez.
Liar license, and y'all didn't get caught.
Pants on fire. All right.
We smell them from here.
Polyester burns. Smells horrible. All right, so interesting comments from an FBI, a former FBI profiler and risk assessor.
I saw that last night. Oh, yeah, I did that on Facebook, too.
Yes, he has spoken out about perceived causal links between gaming and outbursts.
Wait, hold on. Did you say he?
Didn't say he. I can't tell. I can't tell. Let me get
this. It's a she. I saw the video. It's a she.
It's a she. Wow. Awesome. But anyway. They said they've spoken out about perceived causal links between gaming and outbursts of violence and warning U.S. viewers that trying to establish the connection is to ignore the true causes of tragedies like December shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. Havering reported that the perpetrator, Adam Lanza, had several games at his house when it was searched by investigators following his massacre of 20 children. CBS engaged in a debate on the possible links with a panel of experts, Raw Story reports. While various conservative and pro-gun lobbyists had laid the blame for Lanza's actions at the door of video gaming just to get it off themselves because, yeah, he was holding the video game case when he killed the kids, right? Yeah, not a gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Former FBI analyst Mary Ellen O'Toole, yes, it is a woman, offered a different perspective. She said, it's my experience that video games, I want you all to pay attention to this part, do not cause violence. However, she said, it is one of the risk variables when we do a threat assessment for a risk to act out violently. She said, it is important that I point out that as a threat assessment and as a former FBI profiler, we don't see these as a cause of violence. We see them as a source of fueling ideation that's already there. Listen, let me repeat that part. Fueling ideation that's already there. Didn't put any ideas in their head they didn't have. During the same discussion, Christopher Ferguson, a psychology professor at Texas A&M University, pointed out that rather than increasing as games have become more violent, youth violence has actually receded. He said, although he claimed no casual connection there either. There is no connection, and we're fine with that too. He says, I think we have to put this discussion to some extent in historical perspective. And when new media comes out, that they tend to go through a period of what we call moral panic, in which they are blamed for all manner of social ills. And probably the best example of this was from the 1950s when we had congressmen and psychiatrists who were claiming that comic books were responsible for not only juvenile delinquency, but homosexuality. See, people? That's what we were saying. He says, we're in a mode of worry about or panicking about this type of media. We may do some putting the cart before the horse, and we may see some people sort of starting with a conclusion and trying to assemble data in a very selective way to try to support that conclusion. There is... hi. There is up on Raw Story, if you want to pop over and see that, they have some footage. Actually, I'm going to – it doesn't allow for sharing is the sad part. I can't really share the actually, yeah, I can. There it is. Let me grab a copy of that, and I will tweet it out to you all if you want to watch the footage from that. And make sure you share – it's not our website, but share this as much as possible because we want people to hear this because they're absolutely right. We have a ton of people that are panicking for absolutely no reason as far as video games are concerned. You know, we're gonna take it out of our town. We're not gonna allow. We're gonna burn them. And it is very much, as Ginger called it a while ago, like a witch hunt.
It is. It is. It's ridiculous. And it's stupid. Blaming video games when I know everybody's like, oh, you know, the mom, she did the best she can. No, she didn't. She knew her son was sick. She knew he was mentally ill. She did not get him the proper care that he needed. She failed her son, so she failed all of those victims.
Yes.
And for every person out there who has a child who is mentally ill and that you know, put on your little blinders, no, 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 he's fine. She'll grow out of it. No, they don't. They won't. You need to get them help. Stop ignoring the issue.
People that are mentally ill need help. Period.
They do. And these people were not. He was ignored, and he was left alone, and she saw him going downhill more and more. She even told people, you know, I'm afraid of my son. But yet she gave him access to these weapons. You know, her fault this happened. And honestly, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm not sad that she was the first person he killed because she's the one who killed him most. I'm sorry. I'm only sad that she's not here to see how much everybody else is hurting for what she did. There we go.
You are – that's harsh, Ginger.
That is harsh.
No, I'm not disagreeing with your harshness, but that's usually something I say. But you've been around me. You've officially been around me too long. It's very harsh, but it needs to be said. It's kind of a – I felt the same way with Columbine. I was very angry that the parents of, you know, Dylan and whatever his face was didn't – come out and at least apologize. I know it's useless to apologize in that instance, but I would like to have at least, even if they had to cover the camera so you couldn't see their faces, because I understand their lives are in danger when something like that happens, but at least issue some type of public apology.
No. There was a guy, a story I was reading recently, the father worked for the FBI, didn't know how far his son had gone off the deep end, but his son ended up killing two people just randomly. And when he admitted to it, his father turned him in. First one up, my kid did it. And then on the stand, you know, told everybody exactly what his kid told him. And as he got down, he looked at the parents of the deceased and was like, I'm sorry. He apologized to him. It's not hard, people. It's two words. Actually, it's three. But anyways.
Yeah, you should say I'm sorry.
At least you can do.
Those of you who have little people, I will tell you, think it harsh or not, but baby matrix gets told on a daily basis. I will love you through everything except for if you murder somebody, and I'm not talking about in your own defense. I'm talking about you just decided to do it for pleasure. You cannot come home. You cannot call me. You are dead to me. And I am not even joking when I say that. I will tell everybody you died. I will not come see you. I will not write you. I will not call you. I don't care if you find Jesus under a rock in prison. Don't call me. We're done. Our life together is over. And those of you who have kids need to put that in their head, for one, because some kids have moments of stupidity, true enough. Some of them are a little bit mentally ill, but for the most part they can, you know, they're functional. They won't hurt anybody, but they have those moments where they're not too bright and their friends like, "Hey, we should kill some people." And they're like, "Okay." You know, and then, you know, bad things happen. But they still have some semblance of sanity in there for the most part. You need to lay it out to them. I'm not talking to you if you do this. You rob a store, mine is murder, though. I could maybe forgive a robbery, maybe, but there
I'm
going to
beat the hell out of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There will be, oh, man, somebody get me off of this kid. Why did you, cannot stop hitting you. So I'm
safer in jail because if I find out you did something like that, oh.
So some of you parents, parent up, man up, woman up, whatever it is you got to do, you need to lay it out to your kids. And if you notice your kid is mentally ill, stop hiding your little heads under a rock and get them the help they need so that this stuff doesn't happen. I know sometimes it may be unavoidable. I do have a friend. Well, you know what? I can't say there's unavoidable either. A friend of mine, I've known her for years and years, but her brother's mentally ill, and they just kind of let him roam. And I have never agreed with that.
That's so sad. And that's how we end up with this whole population. We've got a great population of
these people,
homeless people. Yeah,
they're crazy.
And it's because their families want to ignore that they have a mental illness. They don't. It's like they're ashamed. They're scared of it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be scared of if you get them help. With the proper help and with the proper support system, these people can be okay. That they can be healthy,
functional,
that they can live a normal, functioning life. Yeah, it's going to be harder. It's going to be challenging. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But they can. They can come back from something like this.
I just, for him, I didn't, for years, I thought that he had done something was why they threw him out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember very vividly when she was getting married, he showed up at the house, and he I got out of the car, and I was like, oh, hey, there's your brother, and she's like, get in the car, or go run in the house. I was like, why are we running? Because, you know, they hadn't really explained to me, and I've been, by this time, we'd been, you know, friends for 10 years. I was like, what's going on? So go in the house. And she's like, he was here the other day, and he threatened my mom. I was like, wait a minute. Why does he not live here? Why was he not in the house? She's like, well, he's always saying crazy stuff, and he wants to hurt us. And I was like, and he's not in the hospital? Well, we put him in there. He checks himself out. Sweetie, you don't seem to understand. You need to take him to a psychiatrist that will declare him mentally incompetent so that he cannot check himself out of the hospital.
Exactly.
And if you can't do that, then you all need to move somewhere, because now you just put me in danger. Now I'm mad at you. You're going to take me home right now. You just put me in some type of danger. What if this was the day he decided to come and kill all of you and I just happened to get out of the car at the wrong time? So you all have to get this would be a bad way to say it. You get to get your crazy people in order. Get them together and get them some help. They need help. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're all off on a Thursday. We're on a Thursday night.
We are. But you know what? I'm going to recover the. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm going to try to recover this. Hold on.
She's going to try to come back from it. Oh, it's a Lego. It is Lego.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, but.
It don't want to play, does it?
No, it wants to open up in a different window. All right, hold up. I can work this.
My intranet is frozen. I do not appreciate this intranet.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly frozen. It's just being a pain in my patootie. It's fun because I can fix this. Yes, I can. There we go. All right. Was not expecting it to do that. So let me try this one more time. And we'll hit this button over here. At least I'm going to try to. There we go. I think maybe y'all are seeing it. Maybe.
We'll oh, God, you have an infinite mirror going on there, didn't you?
Yeah. It shouldn't. Oh, it is going to show that. Well, you know what? Never mind, because it's not going to show. So I'm not going to show y'all this video.
It popped up for a second.
It did pop up for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there it goes. All right. Sweet. Now, if I can get it to play.
All right. Play it. I'm having issues. There we go.
Sometimes people, Twitch and I do not, or not.
And it went away. What did you do to it? It was there and it went away.
It's the way that this thing keeps popping up. It's very annoying. Okay, there we go. So I got it. I should.
Hey, you got it.
Wait a second. All right, Warner Brothers Interactive. I was going to do it. I was going to do it. So I'm going to get it until I did it either. All right, so Lego Batman 2 DC Superheroes for Wii U.
Woo!
Well, you know what? I kept wanting to pop it up in, like, my third window instead of my second one. It's a whole big ordeal. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and TT Games are excited to announce that Lego Batman 2 DC Superheroes, one of 2012's best-received family games, will soon be made its way onto the Wii U system from Nintendo this spring 2013. releasing critical acclaim in June 2012. NBC News held it as the best Lego game yet. You know what? No, I will be the judge of that because I love Lego games. You shut up, NBC. Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes will take advantage of the innovative Wii U gamepad controller. Oh, I'm going to have to have a Wii U. Oh, this is for the Wii. All right, so anyways, players will navigate through Gotham City using an enhanced interactive map and select their favorite DC comic characters to assemble a powerful team of heroes, all with the use of the controller's touchscreen. They can even enjoy the entire game experience on the gamepad in off-TV mode or have a second player join in on the TV. So they can fight crime together without having to share a single screen. The award-winning LEGO Batman 2 DC Super Heroes gives players the chance to step into the shoes of the Caped Crusader and fully explore a LEGO version of Gotham City. Once again under threat from the Joker, oh no, not Joker, Batman must defend Gotham with the help of powerful friends like Superman and Robin to put a stop to the diabolical plans of his nemesis and his entire team of supervillains, including, oh no, Lex Luthor, a Penguin, and Harley Quinn. Counter all of the Dark Knight's iconic allies and enemies in a charming, hilarious, family-friendly adventure full of exciting gameplay. Yay! All right, so it's also going to be available for the Xbox 360, the PS3, the Wii system, and Windows PC, as well as the Nintendo DS handheld system, 3DS, and, oh yes, Castanets, PlayStation Vita. Yay!
Ah! Click, 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 click.
I love me some Lego. I'm going to play some
Legos.
I know
you.
Play me some
Legos. See, that's what we mean by tap, 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 tap. All right, Ginger, I got something for you after the show. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Got something for you. Yeah. Remember what I was saying about earlier? Yeah.
You ain't got nothing for
gangsta.
Me.
Gangsta. Ginger's about to go gangsta, and that's all I'm going to tell y'all. Ginger's about to go gangsta, y'all.
Hell yeah.
She's going to hate it. All right, Sega just sent this over.
Sega.
I see, that's how y'all got us with those things. They didn't send us any. Y'all have any trailers here, people? Okay, no, thank you. Thank you, Sega. They would like to announce a new game, God's Rule, War of Mortals. It's a free-to-play cross-platform build and battle game. It's currently an open beta at playgodsrule.com. It's developed in partnership with GoGo. You know, I'm not going to even try to say that Smith, Inc., God's Rule War of Mortals is a PvP combat strategy game set in a lush fantasy world where players can lead their fierce armies to combat for control of the empire. And I should probably give Ginger a link to the website so you all can see it. You know what it looks like would be very helpful. Yeah, sometimes I'm spacing. We all are on drugs around here this week. Legal drugs, people, legal. Don't go back and be like, those girls at TGR are always talking about high. No, we're taking Claritin and cold meds so that we can be here for you because we love you. Okay, God's Rule is an epic war has broken out between the old and the new gods for control of the world. Humans have joined the old gods, and elves, demons, and giants have joined the new. Players can pick from two factions and fight for control in real-time multiplayer combat. God's Rule War of the Mortals is built for both casual and you hardcore people. It allows you to team up with your friends train units and manage their empire from anywhere in time. Yeah, that's loud. True cross-platform gameplay will allow you to struggle for dominance on both your PC and your iPad. So, ooh. Then look at that. That's gaming utopia right there all together.
That's kind of cute. That reminds me of Age of Empires, Age of Kings, and Age something.
Yeah, all those Age of Empires, Civilization, those games.
I played those. I loved those. Those are good.
Yeah, Patrick, I have that Penny Arcade.
I have to say, your griefer looks like Little Red Riding Hood.
You can go to sign up for this at playgodsrule.com. You can also follow them on Facebook. And if you're not sure how to do that, just pop over to our Facebook because I am liking them right now. Just to give them some love, I may play this one. It's time for a binge gaming session, I do believe.
Are those penguins?
Those be penguins, Ginger. They're cute.
All right.
Okay, that is adorable. I don't know why.
That is kind of cute.
And to be able to play with your friends, very, very cool. I will play.
Interesting. It's very, very, very interesting. Oh, you can play it on the tablet. Hey, what do you know?
Yeah, that's
well,
what I said. You can play with your PC friends on tablet. So for those of you who are, yeah, you're kind of a gamer, but you're not really sure yet, but you got an iPad, this might be one to play with your PC gaming friends, those dirty, dirty PC gamers. Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Is it free, did they say?
Yeah, it's free to play. So free is always good.
Well, I'll try it in a couple weeks and I have access to a tablet again.
Man, my vein, the gaming vein is twitching. I need some Fallen Earth and I need some Sims.
Girl, I was in Fallen Earth this weekend. Where were you?
Dude, you saw the state our site is in. Joe's all mad at me. Joe's cussing me out on Twitter. Fix it, Corey. I'm like, I'm trying. My head is hurting, Joe. I'm trying. So I'm like, I need to play something. And apparently I have burned my arm today. That's nice. Wonder when I did that.
You say nice, but I'm feeling like not so much. You know?
Yeah, we're having some issues here. Y'all got to come take care of us, Gamer Girls. We're kind of falling apart over here. Just a little bit. Send some Microsoft points, quick.
Tiny bit.
Okay.
All right.
Ginger. Guess what just arrived in the mailbox? Your Lego thing, just now.
Oh, hey. Well, you know what? I found a pour of that. All right, so if you're looking at the screen, you should be seeing Arma 3. And I got to tell you about it before we run out of time. Bohemia Interactive today announced their plans for the upcoming PC-exclusive tactical military shooter game Arma 3. From next week onward, Tuesday, March 5th, we are all welcome to try out the authentic military gameplay and assist in the game's development by participating in Arma 3 Alpha. The Alpha will feature a limited amount of playable and sandbox content, receive regular updates, and remain accessible until Arma 3's beta starts, which is expected in the second quarter of this year. The full and final version of Arma 3 is scheduled for release in the third quarter of 2013. Featured in the Arma 3 Alpha are four showcase missions, infantry, vehicle, scuba, and helicopter, a limited subset of weapons and vehicles, two multiplayer scenarios, the powerful scenario editor, and marine support, the 20-kilometer squared island of Stratus, and which is positioned right off the coast of Arma 3's main destination, Altus.
Oh, that is so pretty.
Top of Arma 3 Alpha. But we have to tell you something here. To participate in the Alpha, people can purchase the Arma 3 Alpha.
Purchase
for $24.
Purchase
and €24.99 or $32.99. Uh huh. Or you know, Arma 3 Digital Deluxe Edition for $49.99 on Steam. That's right, folks. If you want to play in the Alpha, which is not even a beta, so stuff's not going to work at all badly.
Purchase.
You have to pay them at least $32, $33 to play.
Well, you know what they're trying to emulate, don't you? Our friends over at that made the Prison Architect game.
Mm-hmm.
They're clearly trying to imitate them. But you don't have a Kickstarter. You're just telling people to give you money ahead of time.
Yeah. And I'm going to, and with the reviews that people that I know are already playing this, it's not good. It's not good. Not good at all. And, yeah, so I have to tell you, Arma 3 people, no. You know, $5 to get into the Alpha. I might think about it. I might. You know,
I would tell you if I...
$33.
I would play for Prison Architect. By the way, there's some videos we will be sharing. That we'll be showing from Prison Architect, by the way, because I was watching some over the weekend while I was messing around with our site. It is more awesome than we know, than we've been telling you about. We've been telling you some things, but to see it in action, one of our UK boys got to go over and actually play it, and it is so effing awesome. If you want to get to participate in that alpha, would be very, 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 very good. And they're going to give you a copy of the game. That's what I don't like about other alphas. They're like, you give us money to participate, but when you're done, you don't get the game. A Prison Architect,
yeah,
you're going to get the game.
That's what I'm noticing is not worded at all here. All they say is the price of each edition will increase once the Arma 3 beta and final game become available. But they're not saying, you know, hey, if you buy Alpha, it's going to translate into you already having
the
game released.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get a final copy of the game. So that sucks. Come on. y'all have to stop gouging us for money. Times are hard. I want a game, but, you know, I may have to resort to other means. Anyway, we got to get out of here, lovely people. We'll be back later on tonight for Pixanista. Got some interesting things I found. Some things about the Google glasses I found out that may make them go mainstream, geek mainstream. And those of you girls out there that like to look at the Oscar gowns, I do. You may have a chance to own one, apparently. I'm still looking into that. But we'll tell you tonight, Pixanista. 9 p.m.
Set that crown on the ground and a set that crown.